Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 439, So You're Not Getting Well. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, September 28th, 2025 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise God. All right. Well, I think this message has come inspired by some recent events around our nation, and I'm not going to, you know, we know what's going on and what's happening, but I've just been thinking about us as believers, us as, of course, Christians, but people who are following Jesus, being transformed by Jesus, and who are on mission with Jesus, and what that really looks like, and how that we as believers should, and followers of Jesus, if we're truly following Jesus, then that means we're following Jesus and we're not following the world. And so that means people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and haven't made him Lord are living their lives, you know, like all of us before we knew him intimately and had him as Lord, are living their lives according to the flesh. That's what the word says, right? I forgot my Bible. Would you please bring my Bible up? My sword, I need my sword. And so those two are, we're going to look different. That's the point of the message today. We should look different. Thank you. As believers, if we're following Jesus, that looks different than the way that the world, people who don't know Jesus as Lord, are walking and living their lives, right? Because when you ask people, think about yourself, how you would answer, how are you today? It'd be, oh, like Eeyore answer, oh, I'm sick and I'm this and that. I'm sick of being sick and tired and, you know. That's just one little example that I can think of many of how we as believers, we should look different. And so when you, tomorrow at work or wherever you are, somebody says, how are you? And you give your answer, I'm blessed and highly favored. Hey, that sets you apart. You look different and that is different. And that's a very different response. And you might get some, oh, well, that's great. You know, you might get, just try it. It's fun. You'll get a different response because that's different. And hey, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to look different than the world because we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Now, don't be weird peculiar, but we're going to stand out because we're unique and we've been made in his likeness and image. And we have the seal of the Holy Spirit. We have all that we need. You guys are laughing about being weird. Okay, too late. I mean, you know me. Sometimes the bean blossom voice comes out. I'm a little weird. I like to be silly and yeah, it's all good, but like Jesus first. Yeah, I can talk in bean blossom voice and be like this and talk like that, but like Jesus first, okay? Jesus first in my life. And so the title of the message today is Come Out From Them and Be Separate. Like, we're following Jesus, are we really? And do we really look different? Because we should be. We're called to live a life of holiness and of purity, and we're to walk in the light and not partner with darkness or anything that has to do with darkness, right? And so that is going to separate us, and that is going to make us look different. Now, the challenge here, and we'll get into this as we, you know, unpack this subject a little bit, the challenge is that as we love God, as we serve him, that we want to walk in his light, that means we're speaking the truth. That means there's no compromise. That how we live and speak and how we, the things we do and the things we don't do and how we spend our money and everything, if he's really Lord of your life, then it should be lining up to this. Do we do it perfectly? No. Is he always speaking to us about things to tweak and change? Yes. But the idea is that our heart is, help me, God, to line up to you so that I look like you, so that I can walk in purity and not partner with the darkness, right? And so the challenge is, as we do that, at the same time as we're not compromising, we're standing for truth and we're going to speak the truth, but we're we're called to the ministry of reconciliation. At the same time, we're supposed to attract people to the heart of God. So just because we're speaking truth and we're not compromising doesn't mean that we go around saying, well, I'm rejecting you because you don't line up to this and you better repent and go to hell. I mean, how does that attract people to Jesus, right? Like, that's not a good job of following Jesus. If that's our attitude, then we're not really following Jesus, because when do you see that he did that? He spoke the truth in love, and he loved people so well, but he didn't compromise, right? And so that's a challenge for us as his followers, to really do that. And so every one of us has to decide, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, are we influencing the world, or is the world influencing us? Because we're called to influence the world and influence the world for God's love and his truth. That's what we're called to. So we're going to jump in today, and in the first part of this message, we're just going to look at us not partnering with darkness. You know, it's, you like me, when you drive around and you see all these decorations in people's yards, and it's like, oh, great, we're in this lovely spooky month. Okay, that's just one example, but let's just unpack that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. All right, so Paul, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 6. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, and he was addressing specific problems that were occurring in the church of Corinth concerning Christian life, concerning the church. And We're gonna start at verse 14. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're just gonna go real deep in these few verses from 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And touch no unclean thing. And they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, this is strong. He's saying, the verse 14, it's a command. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And we're going to unpack that in a second. But when I read this, you can get the slide ready, the visual. Our tech team is so awesome in the back that they're going to put this up. But if I didn't have this, I would be like gesturing here to an imaginary like whiteboard. And so this is how I just, like, as I'm reading this and I was going through this and, like, you know, really digesting it and unpacking it, to me, and maybe those letters are a little small there, if your eyes are really good, this is like eye exam here. Yes, they're all good and healed and well in Jesus' name and can see far. So believers on the left side, unbelievers. And I just went down the scripture here. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Basically, it's showing, you know, there's a series of rhetorical questions here that Paul asks. What does one have to do with the other? These are opposites. What does righteousness on the side of believers? We're made to be the righteousness of Christ in Christ Jesus, right? That's what the word says. We've been made and have right standing with him. So we should be walking in righteousness then, versus lawlessness, which is doing whatever, chaotic, right? Living by any standards, and probably what feels good and the flesh and whatever wind blows a person in a direction or another. And that can change, right? And so then we go down, then it says, what fellowship has light with darkness? So light on one side, darkness on the other. You can think about all that represents light and what that looks like, and darkness on the other side. These are opposites. I think of which Sesame Street character was it that that one of these things does not belong? Maybe it's not Sesame Street. Which one does not belong? Come on, preschool teacher, can you help me? It's like there was a group of things for the preschoolers on the screen. All right. And then it was like one thing that totally didn't, like all fruits or something, and then like a piece of chicken. And it was like, well, that doesn't belong. So it's, okay, we'll move on. Sorry. Which one of these doesn't belong? Right? So there's a clear separation. Move on, Sarah. Okay. What accord has Christ with Belial? And Belial is, I believe that's a Hebrew word. I'm getting ahead in my notes. Where do I have it? That means, it was used to personify worthlessness and wickedness. And here, Paul uses it as a proper name for Satan. He's using that term that means worthlessness, wickedness. He just kind of took that and said, well, that personifies Satan, so we'll call him Belial. So we have Christ on one side, Satan or Belial on the other. And then the temple of God, how does it word it? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? So temple of God, idols, and then God's purity and unclean things. Very different. And there's the scripture. So now we're going to go through and unpack this. First, I want you to hear it in the Message version. I loved this. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. It says, don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. I thought that was so good. That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with the dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that is exactly what we are. Each of us a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way, I'll live in them and move into them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. Ooh, that's good. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you and you'll be sons and daughters to me, the word of the Master God. Awesome. So, you know, I know the Message Bible isn't, you know, people have some things to say about it, but in certain passages, I think it just summarizes it so well, the heart of this. And so that's why I wanted to read that, because I just love that. Like, that's not partnership, that's war. That's two opposing sides. And who would ever think of setting up pagan idols in God's temple? Wow, that just spells it out very plainly, right? So verse 14, let's look at this. 2 Corinthians 6, nobody can get lost because I keep repeating it. We're good? It says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Or in other words, don't team up. Don't make a team. And a team can be many things. With those who are unbelievers, because let's describe what this is. A yoke is a wooden bar that joins two oxen together. You've heard this, right? Joins them to each other, and it joins them to the burden, the load that they're carrying. An unequally yoked team has one stronger ox and one weaker ox, or one's taller and one shorter. The weaker, shorter ox would walk more slowly than the stronger or taller ox, causing the load to go around in circles. Sorry. So when oxen are unequally yoked, they cannot perform the task set before them, and instead of working together, they're at odds with one another. So here, Paul is discouraging the Corinthian Christians from being in these unequal partnerships because believers and unbelievers are really opposites, like light and darkness, like we saw here. So this can be applied to marriage, certainly, is how many people quote this scripture, saying don't be unequally yoked. So, you know, a believer marrying an unbeliever, not a wise thing, right? It's going to be uneven load, and then they're not able to complete the task. It's going to run them off course. Also, we can apply this about being unequally, well, not to be unequally yoked in like deep friendship. Who are you sharing your heart with? Who do you spend a lot of time with? And also in business partnerships. Somebody's trying to follow the Lord, but enters into business with somebody who's just wants to make money, and that's their goal, and you know they're not serving Lord Jesus, then they're going to maybe do things that compromise integrity, right? They're going to lie, cheat, and steal to get their way up. And so what partnership does that believer, what business do they have doing business with an unbeliever, right? It's going to cause some problems. This is the word of God. Don't become partners with those who reject God, as it said in the message. So we see all of these rhetorical questions, and the implied answer for each of them is what? Nothing. Like, what does what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Nothing. They should be separate. They should be different, right? Verse 16. We say this all the time. We quote this. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? And do you live that way? That your being, what God created, is truly, it's clean and it's pure and it's given to Him for His use. It should be free of the noise and the junk and the pollution and the contamination of the flesh and the world. Are we perfect at this? Certainly not. We are being sanctified day by day, right? But again, it's the heart. Help me, God, and show me, Holy Spirit, if there's things in my temple that need to leave, right? That need to go, things that need to change. I love that question, that how the message says it. Which of us would think, like, if you were to be put in charge of decorating, you're the decorator, to decorate God's temple, oh, let's go get some pagan idols here, let's go just put all these witchcraft things and a voodoo doll and the sign of the zodiac and all these things that people use and or decorate with that represent darkness, no, you would not decorate the temple of God that way, the house of God. You would want it to represent His light. You would want it to represent His truth, His heart, all that He is, right? And then verse 17 says, following along here, where are we? We're a temple of the living God. I'm finishing 16. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. He's taking ownership of us. As we dedicate ourselves, our temples, our beings to Him, He says, then I am their God and they belong to me. We belong to Him. There's that connection. There's that intimacy. So then we come to verse 17, a command here. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. God's heart for us is to be pure and undefiled. He wants the best for each of us. He put all of his heart and his love, Father God, into creating each one of you. And he doesn't want you contaminated with darkness. He doesn't want you contaminated with sin, because we know that the wages of sin are death. That's going to cause death and destruction and corruption in your life, right? And so we should, if we're following Jesus, we should want to line up with him and say, yes, then I want to be pure. Help me to be undefiled, because I want to bring you glory, right? Because that's how he dreamt for us, to have an awesome, abundant life. And he sent Jesus to die for us so that we could. Like, the curse of sin is broken. But if we're dabbling in sin and all this junk that comes from, the origins of it come from darkness, then it defiles us, right? Yes. And don't say if you try to dress it up or put it on a church property, sorry, I'm getting in some people's business or some people's mail, that it'll be okay. No, if the origin of something, whatever it is, a holiday, a decoration, or whatever it is, if it comes from witchcraft, if it comes from darkness, then darkness, it should stay in the darkness. And we should, as children of the light, we should have nothing to do with it. This says here, go out and be separate, right? Therefore, go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. The Lord doesn't want us involved in unclean things, because he knows it, how it will pollute us, how it will damage us. It will affect our thinking. Things that represent darkness, things that have to do lining up with sin in our lives. Idolatry, because, again, I'm repeating myself, but it contaminates us. It taints God's best that he had for us, that he has for us. So this come out from among them, that phrase, it actually comes from a reference in Isaiah 52, verse 11. We're going to look at that for a second. And it speaks of the Israelites who are returning from exile. They've been in captivity, in exile, in Egypt, and they're returning. And God is promising to call back to the promised land the descendants of those who went down to Egypt. And so the people of Israel are commanded to leave behind any idolatrous habits that they picked up while they were in Egypt. So this is the origin of the phrase that's quoted here by Paul, and it comes from Isaiah 52, verse 11. In the ESV, it says, depart, depart. You know, when he says it twice, it's like, okay, pay attention. Depart. No, really, depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. So that's the reference here that's being kind of quoted in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Come out from among them. It comes from the Old Testament. So Paul is, he's using that now to teach and to kind of admonish or correct the Corinthian church. And just as the Israelites coming out of Egypt were to put off any idolatry, he's saying that same thing to the Corinthian church, that the believers are to lay aside the idolatry and sexual immorality and the things that were steeped in everything that involved living in Corinth, because Corinth was a really sinful, corrupted society and culture that was there in that city. And so still today, the Lord wants us, his people, to be separate from the sin of the world. This doesn't mean in regards to people, not their sin. This doesn't mean if we're coming out and being separate, it doesn't mean that I have no contact whatsoever. It doesn't mean that I lock myself, build a little Christian village and only live with myself. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine only in my bubble right here. No, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be salt and light. right? We have to separate and come out from the sin, from the idolatry of the world. But it doesn't mean in regards to the people that we reject them. And I think as the church, we can do a better job that we all need to, preaching to myself here, you know, to close our, like, to follow this well, to separate myself, but to not close my heart off to the person. Yes, maybe to the lifestyle or the sin or whatever it is that I don't agree with, that this doesn't agree with, but that doesn't mean that I just reject them and I give them my back and I never, you know, have contact with them. Because how can I be salt and light if I'm not shining my light in front of them? I'm only in my little, in under a bushel, in my own bubble, in my own house. Are we okay? Yeah. I see some faces like, oh boy. Okay. It doesn't mean that we should reject people or close our hearts off to people that are different from us. We'll just say it that way. People that are different from us. Because we're called to follow Jesus. The grace. Give us, we have grace. If we have Jesus, we have grace. Let us choose grace and choose to walk in that grace. Lord Jesus, help us, right? So back to 2 Corinthians 6, the end part of that, verse 17 and 18, it comes with a promise that if the condition is met, if we will come out and separate ourselves, then he will welcome me. He'll be a father to me, and I will be his daughter, or you will be his daughter or son. Wow, that's awesome. I think of it this way. I think of it as an illustration. Imagine a potter, you know, an artist who has a vision, dreamt up of this, what would this be called? A pitcher? It's not really a pitcher, a vase, and had the dream for it and begins to put the lump of clay on the potter's wheel and begins to make it. And they're putting all of their heart, all of their love into all of their talent. They're expending time and resources to make this beautiful pot that is very unique, right? And if you look at it closely, there's a lot of details on here on this ceramic, beautiful vase. And let's say the maker, the potter, gives it to me as a gift and is like so excited. Look, I made this for you. I crafted it for you. I dreamt of this. It just gives me such joy. It's so beautiful. And I want to give it to you. And me, with not making good choices. This is just a hypothetical, right? I make good choices and I'm declaring that over my life. I'm painting a scenario here, right? That I decide, oh man, there's a loose nail hanging out of this table. I'm going to use this jar and I'm going to smash it. I'm going to use it like a hammer instead of going to get a hammer. I'm going to use it and I'm going to smash it against this table because we don't want the nail sticking out. So I'm going to use this precious thing that was given to me, that was entrusted to me, and I'm going to just fix that nail right there. That's kind of like what we do when we are choosing. Sorry. When we're choosing sin, when we're choosing to partner with darkness, when we choose the flesh, when we're not separating ourselves, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God has wonderfully and fearfully made us. And when we allow sin in our lives to be there, to stay there, we damage ourselves. We corrupt ourselves and we hurt his heart. We hurt his heart. And so he says, come out, empty out the sin. Get it out. Get it out of there. Get it out of our hearts, the sin, the corruption, the darkness. Praise the Lord, because he dreamt for us so much better. He loves us so much. So all of this is for what? Like, what's the point? The point is that coming out and being separate isn't just so that we can feel good about ourselves and give a pat on the back. I'm this great Christian. I have crossed my T's and dotted my I's, and because that makes us religious. If then our heart is far and I'm comparing myself or saying I'm better because I'm more spiritual or I'm more holy, then we've just lost it all, right? We've missed the point. And so it's not about being fundamentalist. It's not about being religious, but it's all based on relationship. It's all based on knowing what God did for us in sending Jesus to die for us and to walk with our heads held high, knowing who we are, knowing our identity, living the way, the truth, and the life, and putting things off, separating ourselves and saying, no, I'm not going to participate in that spooky holiday. I'm not going to participate in XYZ. And I'm not going to... I'm not going to disobey what my God says. I'm going to leave my heart open. If, you know, somebody is doing something that is, does not agree, you know, I'll speak the truth in love, as it says in Ephesians. We should do that. We should speak the truth in love, but keep our hearts open for that person to come and say, wow, what's different? Can you pray for me? Can you help me? Because the point is, when we're walking this way, when we're not compromising the truth of the word, there's power of God. and when we're keeping our hearts pure, there's power of God and there's authority. And people see that as different. You have authority in the spirit realm when you are only walking in light and you say no to the darkness. And people are going to see that there's something different about you and they're going to be attracted. Maybe they're in a wrong lifestyle. And so, and they know that you don't agree with that. But I keep my heart open to you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But this is what the word says. And if they truly want help or they need prayer or whatever, they'll come to you because there's power there. There's authority. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. And so we shouldn't compromise that and we shouldn't be ashamed of that. I'm preaching to myself. And so I think we can all come up higher in this area. God's heart is for us. We're his bride, right? To be his bride without spot or wrinkle, pure and holy, with authority and power to be of influence in whatever environment we're at, in our workplace, right? In a lost world, wherever we are. Because then we can operate in the supernatural ministry, the supernatural power and giftings of the Holy Spirit. If we've got sin in our life, that is going to be a hindrance and that is going to stop us. But when people see that we have love, we don't compromise this, but we have love and we will pray for them and we get words of wisdom or knowledge and healing flows out and they get healed and whatever else happens because the power of God is working through a pure vessel, then praise God. That's the idea, church. That's the idea. That's, and then people will come to us that need help. Well, how do you get this, Jesus? How do you get walking like you're operating in these things? Praise the Lord. We can't be only about truth without the grace, right? Because then we become religious. And we don't want that. We have to have the grace, the love, the open heart for people. We can't, because then we will, if we're only about grace, then on the other side, I'm getting myself mixed up. If we're only about grace, 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 love, Jesus just loved everybody, then we risk compromising the truth. And we'll begin to tolerate sin. And that's not what that word in 2 Corinthians said to do, right? So each of us has to decide, like I said at the beginning, are we influencing the world or is the world influencing us? Let's get back to this. One step at a time and ask him and the Holy Spirit will show you. There's another scripture that I want to, how are we doing on time? Okay. There's another scripture. Maybe I won't unpack this as much, but let's look at Ephesians 5, 1 through, it's long, but it's good, and it fits in here really well. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them." Ephesians 5, verse 7. "Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." I just love that. Wow. It's strong, but it's good. The beginning, I'll unpack it quickly here. Are you ready? Verse 1 through 4, Ephesians 5 we're in. We are his beloved children. He loves us so much. If we could get that, wow, life would probably be a little different. Let's imitate our Father. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children. It's all about love, imitating his love. No immorality, impurity, filthiness, foolish talk, it talked about, crude joking, but rather, here's a quiz question in your verses there, or not on the screen, that what instead of impurity, immorality, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, what are we supposed to bring and give? Thanksgiving. Who said that? Praise God. 10 points. Praise the Lord. If we're keeping points, we're not keeping points. It's all right. Thanksgiving, to be thankful to God. Use your mouth for that, not for other things. Verse 8, we were in the dark before Christ. I could very much say that about myself. Can you? We were in the dark before Christ, but now I follow him. He's transforming me. Praise the Lord. Is he transforming you? Amen. Yes. And so now I'm light in the Lord. That's our identity. I am light in the Lord, and he's lighting my countenance and all of my being and yours. And that impacts my identity, and who I know that I am now impacts my behavior. It impacts how I walk and how I choose to carry myself and the things that I do and the things that I don't do. And now I'm walking as a child of light. I'm not in the darkness anymore. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Skipping around. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. We can do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. Discern, show me what pleases you, Lord, and what doesn't please you about my life. This message isn't to bring condemnation to anybody, because Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something, that's conviction, and praise the Lord, because you get the gift of repentance with that. That you can say, when the Holy Spirit shows you and you discern something that's unpleasing to him that you've participated in, or, you know, have a decoration that he doesn't like, or, you know, whatever that sometimes we don't even know, we're not aware of, but you ask him and he'll show you. He will purify your heart and your life as you ask him and as you allow him. He's a gentleman. Verse 11, do not participate in unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. Works of darkness. Lord, show me if there's any unfruitful, fruitless. I want to produce fruit and fruit that remains for God in the kingdom of God. And so show me, God, if there's any fruitless works of darkness that I am somehow involved in or thinking about or, you know, whatever. Take it out. And we should expose them, not only about ourselves, but it says here, unfruitful, do not participate in it. Expose them. Speak the truth. In how?
In love.
In love. Not anger and condemnation or rejection. In love. I'm just skipping some highlighted verses here. Verse 14 says, for anything that becomes visible is light. And of course, summarizing with verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So ask, as we were just saying, ask the Lord to shine a light and make things visible to you so that you can do the next part when it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ's light will shine on you. It will. That's his promise. So verse 15, it says, let's be wise in how we conduct ourselves. We've all been given 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week. We can be wise and make the most of the time that we've been given. Every day is a gift, and every day I can ask God to help me. Who do you want me to bless today? Like we talked about in Healing Masterclass, who can I be a blessing to today? Who can I share the love and light of Jesus in my life and have the gifts, supernatural gifts and ministries of the Holy Spirit flow out to touch somebody else? We got to make the most of every opportunity to walk and shine his light. Because the days are evil. We've got to wake up, church. Amen. We got to do the business of shining our light for Jesus. Sometimes we're not even trying, but we're just... Have you ever been walking somewhere and you're just smiling and happy and somebody goes, you got a smile on your face. Somebody one time said to me, and then we became friends, you must be a Christian. Because I was like smiling. And walking campus, it was at the school on the reservation where I used to teach. And she was a believer, and she recognized that in me and said, you must know Jesus. Because I was just, I don't know, smiling. Like I wasn't trying to, I'm going to be the light right now. It's just, it's in us. It's our identity, who we are. Amen. And let's line up with that. And stay away from the dark. Don't be foolish, verse 17. We're better than that. We're better than that. God loves us so much. Be wise. Be not foolish. Verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit, not with drunkenness on wine. Oh, the Holy Spirit, there's so much of him, and there's no hangover, and there's no bad side effects. Drink in Here we go. I'm going to be silly. Drink in the Holy Spirit, His love, His joy, His peace, and be filled with Him. And out of me will come songs and praises and hymns and, like it says, making melody to the Lord in your heart. And let that out to others. Praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise. It doesn't matter if you sing off key.
Amen.
Amen. I'm encouraging someone. Praise the Lord. Lift your heart to God and let Him flow out of you along with thankfulness. That'll attract people to you. They'll want to know what your secret is. What's the hope that you have? Be ready to tell them it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And then verse 21, submitting. We can't forget that. Ooh, that's important. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I am revering Jesus. I am honoring Him and bringing Him glory when I submit out of love to my brother or my sister. And the world needs that. Wow, the world needs to see genuine displays of God's love. You know, I'm just going to share a story and then I'll close with this. A few years ago, I was thinking about this thing that happened. And it really illustrates this well. A few years ago, several years ago, I don't know, we had a situation where, wow, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were in operation and allowed the team, the leadership team here at my father's house to flow in the gifts. And the Holy Spirit showed someone that there was deception going on with one of the cell groups, somebody that was connected to us, and they were living deception. We'll just say it like that. And so we discussed it. We talked about it at length, and I remember Pastor Harley said, "Oh, Pastor Sarah, we'll deal with it." I was like newly ordained and like not sure what I was just like, it felt like a heavy situation that I didn't know how to deal with, of this person pretending to be someone that they weren't, for my cell in my cell group. And I remember going to the Lord. Never doubt that you hear the Lord. I went to the Lord and I prayed and I fasted and we talked as a team about it. And, you know, how do we handle this? And we know that we have to stand on the truth. We know that we can't compromise what the truth of the word says. And anyways, I remember being on the phone. Do you remember this? I remember being on the phone with you and I said, well, I prayed and I fasted, but I don't really know exactly like what I'm supposed to do. And I said, and at the end of the conversation, I just happened to mention, well, the Lord did speak to me. I don't even remember where it was. It was like Jeremiah, somewhere in the Old Testament. The Lord did speak to me, whatever chapter it was, but it makes no sense. Like I studied it out. I tried to make sense of it. And the Holy Spirit had me just, I mean, I cast it off as like, I don't know, that must not have been God. I didn't really hear his voice because that made no sense with what this situation was. And I happened to just happen, the Holy Spirit said, say it. So I said, well, I don't know, this chapter in Isaiah or wherever it was. And he goes, he told me like the roots of it, that's the thing that we're dealing with, basically, like the Spirit. And he goes, oh, you might be on to something there. And I was like, oh, okay. It just encouraged me. So that's a freebie. Just like, know that you hear from God. And if it's not making sense what God is speaking to you, go ask Pastor. Look it up. Look it up. Everyone's going to be calling you. Sorry, Pastor. No, but I mean, study. Pastor Don's available too, right? Study, research, ask people like, what is this about? And you'll get to, you know, strip all the stuff away that maybe you don't see when you just read it. Anyways, God revealed the truth and the truth of what was happening with this person. And so why I'm telling this story is to say that we had to operate. We had to just look to Jesus And operate in his grace and his truth at the same time, because we weren't going to compromise. And we told this person, we're not going to line up with your lie. We're not going to line up with your deception. And this is what the word says. At the same time, we didn't totally shut the door on that person and just kick them out of the cell group and say, you're on your own, we're rejecting you. No, we left the door open for some discipleship, for an opportunity. Would you like to walk with us? We can help you. Like, we can help you if you want to repent, if you want to change direction. You know, here's what we think you need to, you know, ask forgiveness of, you know, come clean with the other people in the cell group. And we then did that and explained, you know, what was going on to the group that was involved. But the point is to walk, just stay close to Jesus. That's all I can say. To stay close to Jesus, not compromising, speaking the truth in love, but not slamming the door and condemning the person. Do you want to change? We can pray for you. We can help you. We will walk with you. We won't reject you. Because, hey, we were once walking the wrong way and somebody helped us, right? And somehow we got to Jesus. So let's leave the door open for you know, the person to turn around. And they did. It doesn't matter. We bless that person in the name of Jesus. They can still repent if they haven't. But, you know, anyways, that's the testimony that I thought illustrated this really well. So if you love Jesus, I'll just conclude here. If you love Jesus, all you have to do is just open your heart to him. Ask him to purify your heart and your life, to make you a pure temple, a pure vessel for him. And he will begin to use you as you come out and separate. We separate more and more. We're all going from glory to glory. We come out and separate ourselves from the world. And we say no to things that are partnering up with darkness. And we don't want to be unequally yoked in a tight way, tight relationships, or marriage or business with somebody who isn't glorifying God and revering God and recognizing God as Lord. So we're going to come out and we're going to be different. We're going to be pure. Perfect? No. But pure and walking after his truth and his power and his authority that will attract people to us. Because the gifts, if you are a pure vessel and saying, God, use me, and I repent when I need to repent of something, the gifts will start, like the teacher the other night said, they'll start popping like popcorn. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow out to touch people, to bring them to the love of Jesus. And that's what we want. He meant for us to shine. And so there's so much more I could say, but, and this could be a whole series, but I'm going to conclude there. Let's pray. And then we're going to just commemorate Jesus's death on the cross and by taking communion and just remember his sacrifice and how amazing he is in our lives. So I thank you, Father. I thank you for this message today, Father, that we are commanded and we are called to come out and be separate, be different, that we're called to shine our light and to be a part of how you want to heal our land and heal people's hearts. Holy Spirit, show us, speak to us. If there's any impure thing in my house, at home, in this house, my temple of the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, God, I don't want to partner up with darkness. I repent of those things. I turn away from those things and I turn toward you, Christ Jesus, the light. Be the light in my life because you are. And I want to walk that way, so pure and undefiled, not contaminated by sin, by idols, by things that are tainted and that come from origins of darkness. I come out and I'm separate and I allow you to work in my life to attract others to your heart. Help me, God, to walk in your balance of grace and truth so that I'm not rejecting people as I'm coming away and separating myself from sin and darkness, that I'm not rejecting people that are still over on that side, that I keep my heart open toward them and I look for opportunities to be a light, to speak the truth in love, to not compromise, God, but to show them the love of Christ, and people will be drawn. And your gifts will flow through the authority that you've given me. Thank you, God. Thank you for blessing each of my brothers and sisters today. We love you, we glorify you, and we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.